verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
If you have a Bible to hand, it would be good if you would turn to John's Gospel and chapter 20. This is the next section of our studies, ongoing studies in John's Gospel. We thought about his trial, the Lord's trial before the high priests and Pilate. We've thought about mocking and his crucifixion. And now, we come to that first day of the week, very early in the morning. Pray with just a moment. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So let's hear what happened on Easter Sunday morning, very early in the morning. There's lots and lots that could be said. In fact, there's been loads of books written, of course, and you can read them at your leisure. But this morning, I'd just like us to notice three things. Three simple things from this passage. First of all, in verse 1, Mary Magdalene and the other women, there were more than one, they had prepared some spices and they went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. All four Gospels record that the stone that was across the tomb was rolled away, and Mary ran to where Simon Peter and John were staying. Maybe even they were hiding in this place. Anyway, she ran to where they were, and she told them someone had taken Jesus' body out of the tomb. And notice, we don't know where they have laid him. There were more than one ladies doing this. So Peter and John set out and rushed to the tomb. The word suggests they were coming to the place that Mary told them about. Both ran. John ran faster than Peter, and he arrived first, and he looked into the tomb. That's verse 5. And Simon Peter, no surprise, when he arrived, he just went straight in. What's going on? He arrived and went in verse 6. And the linen strips that they used to bind a dead body were lying there, as well as the burial cloth around his head. That's exactly the same description as in John 11, where they bound Lazarus, you remember. John also went inside in verse 8, and John includes a very interesting detail in verse 7. I don't know if you notice this. The separate burial cloth, apparently in Greek, a sidarion. Great what the internet can tell you, isn't it? The burial cloth was folded by itself. So what does this tell us this morning? Well, the first simple thing to notice, John is an eyewitness, of course. He's an eyewitness. He was there in the empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. And he is the author of this record. He was an eyewitness. And he writes in one of his letters later, 1 John, that which was from the beginning, Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, are touched, concerning the word of life. And a little bit later, we have seen, and we bear witness, and declare to you. And again, a little bit later, we have seen, and heard, and we declare to you. A little bit later, you can, if you're using the Church Bible, John's Gospel 21:24, this is the disciple, writes John, who testifies to these things and wrote them down. John is an eyewitness to what happened to this astonishing, magnificent day in April of 33 AD, I guess. So what difference did it make to John, the disciple? How did it change his life to see these things for himself with his own eyes? Look at verse 8. First thing to notice, he saw and he believed. He saw and he believed. At that moment, early on that Sunday morning, it was clear John was convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. He'd not regained consciousness and a little strength and staggered out of a tomb and pushed that large stone, no, guarded by soldiers. It was clear that to John that morning that no one had snuck in to steal his body, because the strips of linen that were around his body were there. And the burial cloth around the face had been folded and left. John saw and he believed. Now, you might say, it's a reasonable question, what did John believe? Because, of course, he goes on immediately to write, they, I guess he means Peter and himself, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. John believed, but they didn't understand from the Scriptures, they still didn't understand from the Scriptures that Jesus will, that Jesus must, that Jesus had to rise from the dead. At that moment, John didn't understand what the Old Testament says about the Messiah. But he was an eyewitness, and he believed Jesus was raised from the dead. What difference did it make to John? Of course, it changed his life completely. And he wants you to believe as well. We'll come to chapter 20 next week, a little bit later. Jesus performed many other signs, writes John, in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that, you know it, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. John believed. So what difference does John's eyewitness testimony make to you? What difference does it make to your life? Perhaps you say, well, I don't understand everything about Jesus either. There's lots and lots in the Bible I don't understand. Some of it's quite difficult to understand. And that shouldn't be a surprise, I guess, because of John. He took a whole lifetime to understand that the man he had talked with, that he'd shared food with, that he'd touched, and that man was the creator of everything, the giver of life, giver of eternal life, and the light of all mankind. It took John a whole lifetime. So it's perhaps not a surprise that we who read the account don't understand everything. Perhaps you've got some questions about Jesus. Perhaps you've got, well, why do this lot believe and trust in him? Why? Why are we so confident about everlasting life? Or perhaps you're maybe a little afraid, perhaps, I guess, hiding perhaps behind the questions. I need to have all my questions answered first. I need to understand all this before I commit myself. But even after a lifetime of studying and preaching, the Apostle John took that long to understand. And even after that sort of length of time, the Apostle Paul writes, now we see a poor reflection, like in a mirror. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. 1 Corinthians 13. So even though good old John, he didn't understand many, many things, he saw and he believed. He was convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. On that Easter day, he believed. And John wrote these words for you so that on this Easter day, you will believe. And by believing, have eternal life. If you've got questions, you've got concerns, you're worried about all sorts of things, maybe one day you'll understand all those things, but don't let that stop you trusting in Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. What was the first thing? Jesus saw and believed. John believed. Second thing to notice, let's look at verse 11. All four Gospels recount that Mary met angels, met men dressed in very, very white clothes, dazzling white. And all of them tell the story that the angels spoke to Mary. And Matthew, Mark, Luke say the women were afraid, alarmed, fearful. And John tells us that Mary was weeping. You can almost hear her distress in verse 13 Why are you crying? They've taken away my Lord. They've taken my Lord away. And I don't know where they've put him. Sir, verse 15. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. And of course, Mary spoke to the Lord Jesus, but she didn't recognize who he was. This is verse 14 and 15. Mary didn't recognize him, and there's lots written about why that is. Apparently, there's a film, 2018, apparently, called Mary Magdalene, and in this scene, there's the director has arranged to have the sun right behind the figure of the Lord Jesus. So when she turns, all she can see is this silhouette, this intense silhouette, of course, which means it's hard to identify. And this film is noted for its artistic scene on this. And I don't know, I'm afraid, we're not told the reason why she didn't recognize him. Perhaps you don't recognize who the Lord Jesus is. You don't recognize him. Even if you've hung around the Christians a lot, even if you go to church regularly, it's possible not to realize who Jesus is and to completely miss the claims that he makes, the claims that he makes on your life, my life. So Mary didn't recognize him, but the second thing to notice is that Jesus spoke to Mary gently, tenderly. He spoke her name. A reprimand for not understanding, for not recognizing him, wasn't appropriate, of course. Jesus does reprimand, chastise some folk on the way to Emmaus. Later in Luke's gospel, after these events, the Lord Jesus says, "Well, how foolish you are, how slow you are to believe." But for Mary in the garden, there's a reprimand isn't appropriate. He simply calls her name. You've heard how distressed she was, how frightened. And she realizes by his calling her name, she realizes who he is. She recognized him as the man who has delivered her, transformed her life. Jesus spoke tenderly, gently to Mary. He called her by name. He had compassion on her. You might remember at a tomb when Lazarus was buried, a different Mary went to the tomb with him, and Jesus' heart was moved and he wept as well. His heart was full of compassion and he spoke gently to Mary and called her name. Maybe you're not clear who Jesus is. Maybe you are hurting from the loss of a loved one, maybe, or from a frightening diagnosis, or from challenges in the family, or a work situation, or your neighbors. Maybe you've been bruised by someone. Maybe someone in a church, maybe this church, you've been bruised. But Jesus knows each of us by name, each of us individually. He knows everything there is to know about us. Our relationships, our circumstances, our hopes and our fears. He knows if you have been resisting him. He knows if you've been resisting his call, and he knows if you're simply just lost, don't know what to do, don't understand. He knows these things. Jesus spoke gently to Mary and called her by name. And she turned to him and trusted him. So, Jesus calls you by name individually, personally this morning, to turn to him, to trust in him. His compassion, his forgiveness is waiting for you. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with your salvation. Enter every trembling heart, says the hymn writer. John believed. He saw and believed, though he didn't understand so many things. Mary, distressed, worried, concerned, and Jesus spoke gently to her by name. Third thing, look at verse 17. He did not rebuke her, as we've said. He didn't rebuke her, and his instructions were very gentle, but maybe surprising. Maybe surprising. A lot's been written about what Jesus said to Mary and what he meant by those words. He was going away to heaven. He was going away and leaving his followers for a time. Now, I would guess, I don't know about you, but I would guess that at that moment, Mary wanted to stay right there with Jesus and never, never leave him. Where are you going, Rabboni? Where are you going? I'll go with you. What do you need? I'll go and get it. I'll be with you. I'll stick with you forever. In his presence, problems are resolved. The hungry are fed and the humble are lifted high, says the hymn writer. But he must go. He must go. I'm going to him who sent me, he says in John 16. Truly, it's for your good that I'm going away. He has to go. So, Mary, you can imagine how she feels, but notice how he reassures Mary that she has a place in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. She has a place there. He's going to his Father and your Father. In fact, more than a place in the kingdom, she's been adopted into his family. I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So, go and tell my brothers, adopted into the family. He reassures her that he's going away, but she is safe. But what is she to do? Well, go and tell my brothers. So Mary goes and tells the 11 and all the others what she has witnessed. I have seen the Lord, she says. I can't imagine she says it quietly, can you? I've seen the Lord. Wow, I've seen the Lord. Luke says that some of the others thought, well, this is a weird story. They thought it was nonsense. But she would not. She'd tell them anyway, wouldn't she? I've seen the Lord. So if you have personally, individually met with Jesus, you've turned from your sin and given your life to him, be assured you have been adopted into God's family. You have a place in the everlasting kingdom of God. And Mary went to tell the people about the risen Jesus. So if you have personally, individually, heard the Lord Jesus call you, trusted in him, even if you have don't understand everything, even if you don't understand, if you have believed, then we too must go and tell someone that Jesus took the punishment for our sin and he rose again from the grave. And you've seen him at work in his people, perhaps. John, an eyewitness, John, he saw and he believed. The Lord graciously, gently spoke and called Mary by her name individually. And Mary, of course, went to tell of the risen Lord. Pray with me just a moment, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that you rose from the dead on that great, glorious morning. Thank you, Lord, that we read the account of someone who was there and who wrote it down for us. Lord, we pray that we would all believe. We pray for any that are not believers here this morning, or any that we know in our families and friends and neighbors that do not believe. We pray. Lord, thank you that your word is kindness and gentleness and compassion. And you know us by name. You know everything that we need, everything that we worry about, everything that we think. And you call us by name to follow you. Indeed, you call us by name to go and to tell. May we be witnesses for you this day. Amen.